Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Inheritance by Nancy Schwartz, narrated by Andrea Ems. Chapter 1. Admiral Rahr's boots echoed through the marble corridors of the presidential palace. His first trip to the surface of Janus in years should have been a homecoming. Instead, his whole body thrummed as a palace guard guided him through the halls, almost too fast for Rahr's long strides to keep pace. No doubt one of President Davis's super soldiers. Rahr lifted his chin and forced his hands to relax at his sides. Just 2 weeks ago, he'd transported more than his fair share of super soldiers, and since then, not much had changed. What little had was to be discussed with President Davis. Rahr suppressed a scowl as the guard turned a corner, leading them to Davis's private wing. Rahr had never been here under the previous administration, but he'd been led to believe the palace was austere, if spacious, a reminder of what the Janusian Union could achieve while working for the greater good. The tile under his feet and the mirrors lining the walls were worth enough credits to feed the entire population of the palace district for at least a year. The guard's uniform, black velvet with red satin piping, medals adorning the breast, and shiny epaulets atop the shoulders, could afford to house an entire family in the province where Rahr grew up. Meanwhile, Davis's ministers had instituted a new food rationing plan on the planet Orcus, and if the situation didn't improve there, it wouldn't be long until riots broke out. So much for Davis caring about the common Janusian. Rahr glanced over his shoulder at the figures trailing him, his hands twitching involuntarily against his pants. He forced himself to relax again. If the former Lieutenant Karim and Alessandro Anetti wanted to literally or metaphorically stab him in the back, they'd had plenty of chances already. If they intended harm on President Davis, he wasn't sure what he would do, possibly step aside. Eventually, the guard stopped in front of a set of doors that rose taller than the blast doors on the Vigilant's main hangar. As the right side door creaked open, the guard gestured inside.
President Davis wishes to speak to you first.
Rahr strode through the doorway and squinted against the dim light from the chandeliers, high above the cavernous office. His eyes adjusted as the door closed behind him. Then Davis's voice rang out.
I hear you brought me a gift, Admiral Rahr.
Her chair faced the floor-to-ceiling window on the far side of the room, her reflection imposed on the artificial gardens below. Rahr had warned against such a large window in the office of the most important person on the planet, no matter how many force fields surrounded the building, but she hadn't wanted to listen. He clasped his hands behind his back, his fingers squeezing in suppressed aggravation. Should he wait for her to turn around before responding to her? He might never speak if he did.
I apologize for the imposition, President Davis. I thought it best to deliver the prisoners in person.
I would say so, Admiral. You defied a direct order.
She turned around, finally. Her expression was always stern, drawn together brows, pursed lips, but the dim light made her look even angrier. Or maybe she'd finally reached the end of her patience with him. But her expression softened. Not soft, because Davis never was, but almost proud, with gleaming eyes and a satisfied almost smile.
Nevertheless, you delivered me our spy and her target. Very good, Admiral Rahr. Very good indeed.
Rahr touched his throat. He'd come to this meeting prepared to defend himself, explain how attacking Sylvanas wasn't sound strategy, that protecting the lives of the prisoners was more prudent, regardless of his conversation with Captain Parchant. Instead, Davis was commending him? If she wanted to knock him off balance, offering praise was certainly one way to do so.
Thank you, ma'am, he stammered.
He cleared his throat and reminded himself of his objective. He glanced around the room at the other guards. He almost startled when he recognized one of them, Lieutenant Tantus, who had been stationed on the Vigilant for a short time. She and the other super soldiers had returned to Janus ahead of him and were now serving as Davis's personal guards until it was time for the next battle. Rahr wanted to ensure there was no next battle. He took a deep breath.
I am glad you appreciate the importance of the prisoners and why I had to ensure they were safely delivered to you.
Davis remained seated, regarding him with curious eyes. Lieutenant Karim can still be of some use to us. She activated her data pad. The projection sprang to life in front of her, obscuring her face, but her pleasure was unmistakable as she skimmed the document. Rar found himself studying her desk, anger welling inside him again. The desk matched the bookcases lining the wall, all made of highly polished wood, a material that couldn't be found naturally on any planets in the Genusian Union. Obtaining resources was the reason she'd ordered the invasion of Sylvanas, or so she claimed. But she hadn't cared about helping the common citizen, but rather building up her military and making her own position stronger. She continued speaking.
Alessandro Anetti, on the other hand.
Anetti's name caused Rar's attention to snap back to Davis. Her expression turned smug.
His capture has already paid off. Anything else will be a bonus.
She must be referring to the split among the Majin, but she was wrong. Now that the majority of the Majin had rejoined the Colonial Security Force, creating super soldiers hadn't gained Davis any advantage at all. Why couldn't she see that? Because she wanted war, and she wanted to win, no matter what the cost. Rar stared her straight in the eye.
If the Colonial Prime Minister feels threatened enough to utilize Majin again, he might decide to create more of them to overwhelm us.
Davis did not take her eyes from her datapad screen.
Prime Minister Bennett does not want the Majin to actually fight. He wants to control them, which suits my purposes. If Bennett knows where they are located, so do I. And with Alessandro Anetti out of the picture, the Majin will once again be the obedient soldiers they were created to be.
She glanced at one of the guards standing on the right side of the room. Rar did not trust himself to respond. Davis cut the projection and steepled her hands on the desk.
You have done me a great service, Admiral Rar. Your actions at Sylvanas allowed us even more time to organize. Therefore, the Vigilant will be transferred back to Genusian orbit, and you will become my Minister of War to prepare for when the time is right.
Rar's skin flushed, and adrenaline kicked through his body. He had spent the past several weeks determined to win back Davis's trust, no matter what. Now, after defying a direct order, she was finally giving him what he'd always wanted. But how could he lead a war he did not believe they could win? How could he lead super soldier troops into battle? How could he damn Genusian civilians to even more suffering, as their needs were overlooked in favor of the military? Rar met Davis's gaze again. She regarded him coolly, brows drawn together, corners of her lips turned downward. She didn't trust Rar at all. She wanted to keep him close so she could watch him. He bit the inside of his lip. That was fine with him, because he no longer trusted her either. He took a deep breath and forced a smile onto his face. The super soldiers in the room would be able to sense if he was lying, so he told Davis the truth.
I am grateful for this assignment, ma'am. I will do whatever it takes to aid the citizens of the Genusian Union.
Davis cocked her head, blue eyes assessing him.
I am certain you will.
Rar looked at his boots, shined past regulation status, and gave a curt nod. Not in understanding, but in determination. He was done being manipulated and underestimated. He'd modeled his aspirations on Davis. If she could collaborate with the enemy, then so could he. Karim forced herself to stare straight ahead when Admiral Rar exited the office, emptying herself of all emotion. He strode past them down the corridor, not making eye contact, but his fists were tight, all his muscles tensed, like he was preparing for a fight instead of just finishing one. Before she could interpret what that meant, the guard reappeared in the doorway.
You may enter.
Karim squared her shoulders. Returning to the Genusian Union to save her life had been a gamble, one that would only pay off if Davis was pleased with having Alessandro Anetti as a prisoner. She strode inside, conveying as much confidence as she could manage. She didn't need to look over her shoulder to assure Anetti. Alessandro followed her. His footsteps were lead weights, even after the transition to the plush-patterned carpet in Davis's office. Davis sat behind her desk, hands clasped on the luxurious wood, her posture open and relaxed.
Lieutenant Kareem, I am pleased to have you returned to the Space Corps.
Kareem's heart skipped a beat. Davis was being genuine, not manipulative. Did that mean Kareem was brainwashed more than she believed? Once this meeting was over, would a switch flip in her brain, allowing her to once again become Lieutenant Kareem, intelligence agent and spy? How could she force her mind to stay hers if she had been indoctrinated into the Space Corps since childhood? Kareem allowed a moment to compose herself before responding. She wanted to be cured, and that was what she needed to focus on.
Thank you, ma'am. I apologize that I did not accomplish my mission as intended. I infiltrated the robber baron. However, situations arose that made capturing Alessandro Anetti more desirable than assassinating him.
Her brainwashing should have screamed at her to eliminate him while they were alone in the Sylvanian forest, but her desire to survive had overridden everything else, just like it did now.
You may be right, Lieutenant. His surrender has caused a split among the Margin, and colonial citizens think he is a traitor,
Davis said. Kareem expected a reaction from Alessandro, but he remained silent.
However, I know he would never be captured so easily.
Davis turned her full attention to Alessandro.
What are your aims here, Master Anetti?
Condescension dripped off her tone when she said his title. Alessandro stepped forward.
To help Kareem.
Help her what? Achieve her mission?
Davis stood and slowly looked back and forth between Alessandro and Kareem.
Yet she did not kill you.
Because I am not yet done serving the Space Corps, Kareem blurted out.
More than anything, she needed Davis to believe she was still a loyal soldier. She was, as long as it would save her life.
I must have known subconsciously that once I assassinated Master Anetti, I would die.
Davis narrowed her eyes. So Kareem's recollection of that conversation wasn't faulty.
And who told you that?
Kareem swallowed hard, wishing those awful memories had stayed hidden. But if she wanted Dr. Hummel to fix her, she needed to reveal everything.
I heard it from Dr. Hummel during our training.
Davis sat back in her leather chair.
So that explains Victoria Anetti's little announcement. Very interesting.
She looked Kareem up and down, blue eyes icy and unreadable.
I will be the judge of whether you are still useful to the Space Corps. For now, you will be assigned to the Presidential Palace with the rest of the super soldiers. When the time is right, you will be transferred back to the Vigilant.
Kareem's shoulders dropped. Staying in the palace brought her one step closer to her goal. It also meant that she would be under Davis's watchful gaze until she moved back to Rar's. She needed to come out with her request now. Davis would appreciate bluntness.
Thank you, ma'am. But now that my mission is over, I was hoping I could be cured.
Davis's stern voice cut through the oppressive silence.
I apologize, Lieutenant. That is not possible.
You're lying.
Alessandro moved in front of Kareem and turned his body so he was almost blocking her. Kareem stepped forward, fully capable of defending herself, but Alessandro continued speaking before she could get her words out.
She can be fixed. She served you well. Why won't you reward her?
Davis regarded Alessandro for several seconds, then shook her head.
So concerned with the life of a Janusian. No wonder the citizens of the colonies believed the Prime Minister's declarations that you are a traitor. Once footage gets out of you cozy in the Presidential Palace, everyone will believe it.
Alessandro's jaw trembled before setting again. Kareem had to look away as guilt seeped into her bones.
I don't care about that, he said. I came here to help Kareem and the other super soldiers, and that is what I intend to do.
Super soldiers you didn't mind killing on the battlefield, Davis shot back.
Your soldiers fired upon unarmed citizens. I had no choice but to act.
Davis shook her head.
And now you want to be their savior. Very noble, Master Anetti, but pointless.
Alessandro lifted his chin.
Then you might as well kill me, because I will do what I came here to do.
You must think me foolish. Killing you will make you a martyr. But we have other uses for you.
She motioned to two guards stationed along the way. They flanked Alessandro.
Bring him to one of the secured rooms. Make sure he is comfortable.
Alessandro did not respond, nor did he fight the guards as they took him away. He watched Karim as he retreated, eyes wide with questions, but Karim looked back at Davis, regret pooling in her gut. She couldn't let returning to the Space Corps be a mistake. She refused to leave until she got what she wanted. Once Alessandro was out of the room, she moved forward so she was within arm's reach of Davis's desk.
Please, ma'am, I do not want to stop serving the Space Corps. Is it possible to cure me?
Davis wet her lips, debating whether or not to try lying to a super soldier.
I am sorry, Lieutenant, but the only way to remove your kill switch is to remove your abilities. As you pointed out, you are not done serving the Space Corps. You've chosen for this assignment for a reason. You would never want to go back to the way you were, right?
It was a test. Alessandro's death might make him a martyr, but Karim was one super soldier of many. No one cared if she died. She had to convince Davis, or Dr. Hummel, to make her normal before her body ran out. She had to. It was the only way to save herself.
Yes, ma'am.
The lie tasted like acid. Davis nodded at one of the remaining guards.
Have her escorted to a room in your wing. See, she has everything she desires.
The guard approached Karim and motioned toward the doorway. Karim met her gaze, recognizing her in violent flashes. They had trained together. Her name was Tantis. Karim searched Tantis's face for any reaction to the previous conversation, to the fact that Karim wanted a cure, to the fact that they would all die. But her face was like stone. At one time, Karim had prided herself on being like all the other soldiers, willingly accepting her fate for the good of the mission, as all Janusians had been taught to do. Karim glanced back at Davis, determination coursing through her. Was she close enough to reach across the desk and snap Davis's neck before Tantis could react? Davis looked up at her, eyebrows raised in curiosity, as if daring her to act. Karim was going to die anyway, so what did it matter? Her life had never been hers, and it never would be. She might as well take Davis out with her. Tantis cleared her throat and pointed again. Karim would never get across the desk in time. She followed Tantis out of the room in silence, planning her next move.
Chapter 2
Victoria and Eddie hurried through the streets of Port Lauderdale, on constant watch, as Matthew pulled her through the crowd. Matthew's chatter blended into the prevailing noise from one of the busiest ports among the inhabited systems of the Borderlands. She'd cut off her black hair again, both due to annoyance and for a semblance of a disguise, but paranoia ensured the hood of her jacket covered her forehead and a thick scarf covered her mouth. No one would give a second thought to seeing her bundled up under Port Lauderdale's chilly dome, exactly the reason she'd chosen this place for their next meeting with Michael Wilson, her liaison with the rogue group of Majin. Matthew guided them to a multi-story building. Over the door, neon lights spelled the establishment's name, some Atissian word she couldn't pronounce. She stepped inside and almost cringed. It was the loud, energetic sort of place she hated visiting while in port. Give her a quiet pub with old-fashioned decor any day. But she couldn't deny this was the perfect spot to blend in with the crowd and escape the prying eyes of those who intended to harm her. Currently, that was more people than she cared to contemplate. Matthew moved to the side, allowing another couple to flow past them. Not that she and Matthew were a couple. She'd vowed not to do things alone anymore, and Matthew's skills were necessary for rescuing her father.
See him?
Matthew asked. Victoria shook her head and checked her datapad. An empty high-top table on the upper level provided a view of everyone who entered, and a quick getaway via a staircase leading to the dance floor. Matthew's hair flopped into his face as he pulled out a chair for Victoria, then settled into his own seat. Victoria glanced over her shoulder. The closest table was near enough to overhear them if the music wasn't so loud.
Of course, Victoria could hear their conversation easily, as could any other super soldier. She squirmed in her chair. Maybe Wilson reconsidered his decision to meet her. Maybe all the rogue Majin decided it was too dangerous to conspire with her. She couldn't blame them if they did. It was hard enough for an enemy government to want you extinct. Having your home nation turn against you was another thing entirely. Matthew reached across the table and squeezed her hand.
He'll show up. Don't worry.
Victoria nodded as she shook off her jacket and draped the scarf over her shoulders. She should be better at hiding her emotions by now. They always got her into trouble.
I know.
She rubbed her arms. Self-conscious now, most of her disguise was gone. Just want to get out of here as soon as possible. No offense.
I know what you mean.
Victoria coughed and reached for the menu hovering in the center of the table. What do you recommend? Matthew frowned as she changed the subject, but didn't miss a beat. He selected a plant-based entree popular in regions of space without natural atmosphere and daylight. She ordered the same thing and two mocktails. Her foot tapped against the leg of the chair while they waited in silence. A server brought their drinks, and she sipped and focused on the conversations around them. Spacer business, the season finale of Salvager Vigilantes, the upcoming Z-Ball tournament in the Borderlands. Finally, a pair of footsteps hurried toward them from her left. She tensed, then sighed with relief when Wilson slipped into the third seat between them.
Sorry I'm late.
He shook off his hood and brushed a few errant flakes off his dark hair, a byproduct of Port Lidaire's environmental system. If snow was the original settlers' way of making this barren rock feel more like a home, they'd done a shitty job.
I had to take the long way around.
Victoria grimaced. After the Battle of Sylvanas, her father's capture, and her announcement to the galaxy about Bennett and Davis's conspiracy, it wasn't safe for the robber baron or the rogue Majin to travel in the colonies. But the Borderlands presented its own set of challenges. Who was it this time?
The Red Death.
Wilson held his hand out to Matthew.
Don't think we've formally met. I'm Michael Wilson.
I know who you are.
Matthew shook his hand eagerly.
I'm Matthew James, systems analysis, on the Robber Baron. Victoria, wanted me to come along.
Of course. You're the reason we found out what happened to Master Anetti. Without that recording, everyone would have believed Bennett's lies.
Matthew ducked his head, but before he could respond, the server approached with their meals, and Wilson ordered a drink. As soon as the server left, Victoria made a go-on motion. Wilson spread his hands on top of the table.
We've got three Majin stationed on Sylvanas. We're in contact with the resistance groups there. Parshant's son is one of the liaisons we've been working with.
Victoria twitched at the mention of Parshant. Did that mean her mother was helping Wilson too? A hollow pang went through her gut. Katrina's succinct message explaining why she'd left after Sylvanas hadn't been enough for Victoria's liking. And since she was working in secret to take down Bennett, Victoria had no way to contact her. That was fine. They all had their duties now.
Master Lovano hasn't tried to stop you?
Matthew said. Wilson shook his head.
He's remained uncharacteristically silent.
Victoria ran a finger around the rim of her drink. Can't blame him too much. If Bennett suspects Lovano of supporting your actions, all the Majin will be at risk.
What if Bennett forces Lovano's hand? Matthew said. You know, to prove his loyalty. Makes him hunt you all down, or whatever?
Leave it to Matthew to make whatever sound menacing. Wilson shrugged, but his eyes narrowed and his shoulders stiffened. Victoria doubted normal humans would have noticed.
Then we'll have to take care of ourselves.
Easier said than done, when there were so few of them, and when her father was being held in enemy territory. She took another bite, swallowed, then stabbed her fork in the remainder of her food. And my dad? Wilson bit his lip as he slid the datapad toward her.
I'm not sure whether this is bad news or good news.
A news feed clip showed her father standing next to President Davis while she gave a speech. Alessandro stared straight ahead, barely moving, barely blinking, but his fists were clenched at his sides. Defiant as always. Victoria's stomach roiled, and she shoved the datapad at Matthew. Matthew blinked at the video.
Well,
He's definitely at the palace.
Yes. Davis confirmed that Master Anetti willingly surrendered to the Space Corps.
Wilson gave her an apologetic look.
I'm sorry, Victoria.
Victoria, not V. The formality reminded her how little Wilson and the other Majin knew about her, which was mostly her fault. He didn't realize this news would bolster her resolve, not shatter it.
It's fine. She pushed away her plate. No use pretending she would finish. Now that we're sure he's there, we can figure out the best way to get to Janice.
Maybe it's not a good idea for us to go after him.
Wilson frowned at her in a disapproving manner. He must have learned from her father. She had to remind herself Wilson was younger than she was. Victoria didn't need any other men claiming that role, especially not someone younger than her.
Master Anetti knew what he was doing. He wouldn't want you to take such a risk.
Then he shouldn't have gone with Kareem, Victoria shot back. He should have known I would go after him no matter what. She snatched back Wilson's datapad. In the footage, her father stood stoically next to Davis, but Kareem was nowhere to be found, nor did the captions mention her name. Had they been separated, rendering Alessandro's sacrifice moot? Was Kareem stationed in another wing of the palace? Had Davis purposefully hidden her from view to drive Victoria crazy? Was Kareem already dead? None of them asked for this. They don't deserve to die. Her feelings for Kareem were no longer romantic, but she still cared what happened to her, what happened to all of them. It was her fault they were in this position. It should be her responsibility to cure them, not her father's. Or maybe they could fix things together. Victoria shoved the datapad back at Wilson. I'm going to Janice. You can help me or not. Wilson met her gaze, his brown eyes hardening as he took back the datapad.
You're right. Master Anetti's sacrifice will be pointless if we don't rescue him.
Matthew scooted forward.
A raid won't work. We can't take the robber baron, even with fake IDs.
Victoria tamped down a smile. Despite the risks, Matthew didn't question whether they should go to Janice. He only wanted to help. He deserved so much better. Wilson pushed up his jacket sleeves and opened the datapad to a new document.
We'll have to go undercover, smuggle ourselves onto Janice.
He glanced at Victoria.
You can come with us.
She shook her head before he finished speaking. I need to stay with my crew. Wilson cocked his head.
Getting all four of you to Janice might raise suspicions. It might be better to get there separately, than meet once we're on planet.
Victoria fiddled with her necklace. Her father had once used the tracker embedded inside the locator. What was the point of knowing exactly where he was if it was so difficult to get to him? Her fingers tightened around the cold metal. Nothing was hopeless, not while her father was still alive. Her aunt and uncle would find a way to get them onto Janice, and there was always her mother, with her knowledge of the Space Corps, if Katrina contacted her soon. If she saw the same newsfeed, she probably would. Don't worry, we'll figure out a way to get to Janice. Matthew nodded in agreement.
Good, Wilson said. Once we're there, we'll determine the best way into the palace.
Victoria nodded as she listened to his suggestions. Movement on the lower level caught her eyes, and then she inhaled sharply and stopped paying attention to Wilson. The bounty hunters were back, three of them hovering near the bar, the leader demanding answers from the bartender while the other two sipped drinks and scanned the entrances and exits. Only months ago, another set of bounty hunters had trailed her from planet to planet, causing her to seek refuge on the robber baron, something she'd sworn to never do. This time, she wasn't facing the bounty hunters alone. Matthew reached across the table and brushed Victoria's forearm. He didn't need to be a Majin to notice her shift in mood.
Bounty hunters?
The cacophony of the club made it impossible for a normal person to hear his whisper. But the urgency came through like a shout.
Lower level, she said. Don't look.
Wilson sat back and dropped his arm to his side. Good. He was armed. Not that he needed to be.
They must have followed me. I'm sorry.
Or they were after her. Didn't matter when either option ended with them in a starship's brig. Or morgue. We'll leave first. Matthew will be in touch. Wilson shook both of their hands in a firm grip.
Good luck.
You too.
She stood, contemplating whether...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?